バンデーハンスリークラスリージュタパタカマランスリークルバイシナバンスシャスリールパンサグラジャタンサハガナダグナファンディタンタンサジーバンサードヴァイタンサバドゥタンハリジャナサヒタンクリシナチェイタンヤデヴァンスリラダハクリシナパダンSahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditam Shah Everyone together Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Prakasharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Ashtatyaji Satharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Smati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shri Varshavana Videvi Thaye Thaya Kripabhtaye Krishna Sambandha Vijyana Dhyane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadhyaya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktita Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Saraswati Maye Vinakharine Vitanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaurakishwaraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vitralamba Rasambodhe Adambho Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchitananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhumestvam निर्दिष्टा सज्जना प्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौमश्री जगन्नाथे नमः वंशाखण्डपाथरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च अतिथानां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो महाबलाय कृष्णप्रेमकृताय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नमने गौरकृष्णे नमः हंसतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तारूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्तव्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कन्दा राधा कन्दा नमोस्तुते जायथां सुरथाभङ्गो मम मन्दमखिर्गति मत्सर्वस्वापदं भोजाओ राधा मदन मोहना दिव्या वृंदारण्य कल्पद्रुमाधा श्रीमान रत्नका सिंहासनस्ता श्री श्री राधा शील गोविंद देवा श्रेष्ठालि विशेष मनोस्मरामी श्रीमान रासरसारंगी हम शिवाथा तथा स्थिता हर्षां देनु स्वनाय गोपी गोपीनाथ श्रिये सुनः सप्ताखंशन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनिखानन्द श्रीअद्वैताददाधर श्रीवासदि गोदत्तवृन्द जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गोदत्तवृन्द Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bad from Hongs of Rivaracha, Charter Shasto, the Sutusri Shimad, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Shila Prabhupad Kij, Jayom Vishnupad from Hongs of Rivaracha, Charter Shasto, the Sutusri Shimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasuti Thakur Kij, Anantipuri Vaishnava Brindaki. Namacharya Shilaharidas Thakur Ki Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Sham Kund Radha Kundigidi Govardhan Ki Sri Rup Sri Sanatana Bhatta Raguna Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna Sargo Swami Prabhu Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Sri Navadweep Dham Ki, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Gaur Bhimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milipanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tatati Swapatam.
I welcome everyone to our Sri Vrindavan Dham Parikrama. Some very special guests, very senior associates of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, have joined us. His Holiness Chandrasekhar Swami Maharaj. Everyone, please. Her Grace Malati Mataji. Her Grace Nartaki Mataji. His Grace Bhima Prabhu and His good wife. It is said that Vrindavan and Navadweep are non-different. The essence of Sri Navadweep Dham has come to bless us with the mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai during our Vrindavan Yatra in the form of the official head pujari of both ISKCON Chandrodaya Mandir as well as Radha Gopinath Mandir. Let us very loudly welcome Janani Vas Prabhu. Hare Krishna! Lokavarnatam Prabhu has descended from Alachua, Florida. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna has spoken, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanadaya sambhavami juge juge, that to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish the principles of religion, and to give protection to His devotees, He descends to this world again and again. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sorajana. One who understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord becomes purified from within and without, never has to take birth again in this material world. Dharmatma Prabhu, Harivo. Dandavat. Srila Prabhupada has revealed to us that to kill demons, to re-establish the principles of religion, the Lord can do either through His material energies or through His personal representatives. However, when the Lord descends in this world, it is especially to perform such all-attractive activities to give pleasure to and attract the hearts of all living beings. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that just as there are waves in the ocean, there are incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that appear in this world. However, ete chang shakala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Of all such expansions, planary expansions and incarnations, Krishna is the ultimate source. He is the full, complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. Beyond this earth planet are the upper planetary systems, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka. Beyond the Brahmaloka is the Viraja, the dividing river between the material and spiritual existence. When one crosses Viraja, one enters into the Bharata. Brahma Jyoti, the unlimited, all-pervading spiritual sky, which is the bodily rays from the beautiful form of Lord Sri Krishna. Within the Brahma Jyoti, or the Paravyoma, are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, where the Supreme Lord lives in His eternal forms, just according to His devotees' natural inclination to worship. In all Vaikuntha planets, the Lord Narayan is existing, reciprocating pure love with His devotees. If that speaker can be a little less the Hindi speaker, please. The topmost of all planets of Vaikuntha is Krishna Loka. That is the place where Rasaraj Sri Krishna resides, reciprocating loving exchanges that are not to be found anywhere else in all material or spiritual existence. It is Madhurya Dham, where the sweetness of Krishna's beauty, where the charm of His intimate dealings with His devotees completely encompasses and overcomes the recognition of the Lord's supreme majestic opulence. It is this Sri Vrindavan Dham that is the ultimate destination to be attained by all souls. Once in a day of Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in His original form in this world. That means approximately once every 4,300,000,000 years. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. When the Lord appears in this world, along with Him He brings His intimate eternal associates and His eternal abode. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that the Vrindavan of this world is called Gokula. The Vrindavan of the spiritual world is Goloka. There is absolutely no difference between the two. Krishna has manifested the spiritual world on this earth, a place of birth and death, out of His infinite, causeless mercy. Vrindavan is called Chintamani Dham. It is the place where all one's spiritual desires can be completely fulfilled to those who are sincere in their prayer, in their devotional service, and in their chanting of the holy names. Krishna performed His Leela in Vrindavan for approximately 11 years and 9 months before going to Mathura and then Dwaraka. During His Leela in Vrindavan, Krishna performed such sweet, all-attractive pastimes that anyone who hears them with a sincere and receptive heart, anyone who speaks them or even remembers them, will certainly attain the ultimate destination of pure devotional service. 500 years ago, Lord Krishna appeared as the Yuga Avatar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, searching to understand and experience the sweetness of the supreme love of Srimati Radharani. In the year 1515, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came to Vrindavan. It is described when he was living in Puri, just the thought of Vrindavan, his ecstasies of love would increase hundreds of times. When he was traveling to Vrindavan through the Jarikanda forest with the expectation of coming to this holy land, his ecstasy increased hundreds of times beyond that. When he entered into the district of Mathura, his ecstasies increased hundreds of times beyond that. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, his ecstasies increased unlimitedly. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here, Vrindavan was practically a forgotten place. It was a deep jungle. The holy places of Krishna's Leela, over 4,500 years, were practically lost and forgotten. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna in one form. When he returned to Vrindavan, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the deers, the parrots, the monkeys, they all came to greet him in great ecstatic love. Here he discovered many of the eternal places where Krishna performs his divine leela. He returned to Jagannath Puri on the request of his devotees and sent Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Srila Jiva Goswami, the six Goswamis, specifically to establish the holy places of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision was that the whole world come to become purified in the sanctified atmosphere of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explained that in Vrindavan Dham, any devotional service one performs has hundreds of times the power to purify our hearts. And during this month of Kartik, the month which is personally overseen by Srimati Radharani, Rupa Goswami explains that to perform devotional service in the land of Vrindavan in the month of Kartik will bear fruits thousands of times greater than in ordinary times. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent the six Goswamis to actually establish Vrindavan as a holy place of pilgrimage, to find and to excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, to establish beautiful temples with deity worship, to write spiritual literatures extracting from all the Vedas the essence of all knowledge, pure unalloyed devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And by their life's example, to teach the world what is real bhakti, what is real renunciation. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The ultimate path of truth is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally empowered the six Goswamis to show the way of the world to the world. As the years went by, the glorious influence that was created by the six Goswamis became very much minimized. The conqueror Aurangzeb, he destroyed many temples. The deities were hidden or taken to various places. In this situation, there was much suffering, much deviation. At that time, the great Acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he appeared to re-establish the true purity of pure devotional service in Vrindavan. As we know in this material world, unless great souls are fighting fearlessly to protect us from the influence of Maya, everything goes down. It is the law of material nature. We have the law of gravity. Everything is forced down. Similarly, human consciousness, over time, the tendency is to push the consciousness down to the lowest levels of materialistic life. Therefore, evam parampara praptam, it is essential that these great acharyas of the parampara protect the true principles of religion. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to Vrindavan, it was overrun by dacoits. He re-established the principles of pure bhakti in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Vrindavan to perform the Braj Mandala Parikrama with thousands and thousands of devotees. It was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that ordered His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world. What Lord Chaitanya envisioned through the six Goswamis of people from all over the world coming to Vrindavan to learn how to love Sri Sri Radha and Krishna was fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada. Living in his simple rooms in Radha Damodar Temple, he was very satisfied. But he left to travel all around the world 13 times, establish Krishna Balaram Temple so that devotees from all around India, from all the continents of the planet could come together and be purified by chanting the holy names and rendering devotional service in the supreme abode of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada performed such immense sacrifice of inconceivable compassion to facilitate us being here today. Therefore, we begin our Braj Mandala Parikrama by first offering our deepest gratitude and loyal devotion at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and pray for His mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, Dharmatma Prabhu, please come sit up here. Please. Srila Prabhupada, in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, tells a beautiful story. In Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform the Ratha Yatra with his devotees each and every year. The Jagannath Temple represents the Dwarka mood of devotional service. And the Gundicha Temple, Sundarachala, represents Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Ratha Yatra is the mood of Sri Radharani and Gopis bringing Krishna from his majestic mood in Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan. For 9 days, Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra enjoy the pastimes of Vrindavan in Sundarachala. During that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they stayed in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. Lord Chaitanya saw these gardens as non-different in Vrindavan. How they enjoyed the sweetest kirtans of the holy name in the gardens of Vrindavan, in the presence of Lord Jagannath. One festival is called the Hara Panchami. In this festival, Lakshmi Devi comes to chastise Lord Jagannath for being away from the Jagannath temple for so long. Maharaj Prataparudra, he very much wanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees to be satisfied. So he called the superintendents of the temple and told them, I want this Hara Panchami festival to be performed like it has never been performed before. Whatever expense is required, let us have a glorious festival for the pleasure of the Lord. At this time, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he inquired, Swarup Damodar Goswami, please, tell us about the rasas of Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami began to explain with great, great realization the pure love of Sri Radharani and the inhabitants of Vrindavan for Lord Shamsundar. The devotees were ecstatic to hear this. But then Srivas Thakur, very much smiling, he interrupted. He said, just see my Lakshmi Devi. The opulences that she resides within in the holy Dham of Vaikuntha are unparalleled. As far as Vrindavan is concerned, Vrindavan consists of some twigs, some flowers, some leaves, a few peacock feathers, and a plant called Gunja. In Vrindavan, your gopis, they milk cows, they boil the milk, they churn the milk into yogurt. But in Vaikuntha, my Lakshmi, she sits on a royal, opulent, majestic throne made of the most precious jewels. Lord Chaitanya, smiling, he looked at Srivas Thakur and said, Srivas, you are acting identical to Narada Muni. I think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulences has very much influenced you. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He doesn't know anything about all these opulences. He only knows pure devotional service. Let us hear from him what is Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, my dear Srivas, you have forgotten the natural opulence of Vrindavan. The opulences of Vrindavan are like an unlimited, vast
ocean. In comparison, the opulences of Dwarka and Vaikuntha are not even a particle of a single drop. Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. It is the place where the Lord's opulences are complete. It is the place where everything that exists is constituted of touchstone, where each tiny particle of dust or sand is more precious than the most valuable jewels of Vaikuntha. Vrindavan is the place where the Chintamani stone decorates the lotus feet of the simple maidservants of the maidservants of the maidservants of the gopis. Vrindavan is that place where there are a vast forest, and every tree in that forest is kalpavriksha. It is a desire tree that could fulfill all one's innermost heart's desires to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brijavasis, they have no desire for anything but to enjoy the fruits of those trees. In Vrindavan, there are vast pasture grounds with pure, fragrant green grasses. In those pastures are unlimited Kamadhenu cows, wish-fulfilling cows, so beautiful, moving about the pastures like clouds in the sky. Their milk is ambrosia-like nectar. They give unlimited milk, and the Brijabasis are thoroughly satisfied and desire nothing else. In Vrindavan, the gopis are super goddesses of fortune. Even the least of the gopis, her love millions of times excels Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, all speech that the people speak is music. All motion is dance. All water is nectar. And the constant companion of everyone is the sweet melodious flute of Lord Sri Krishna. This constitutes the real opulence of Vrindavan. When Srivas Thakur heard this, he began to dance in ecstasy, smiling, laughing, slapping his hands against his body, making very, very incredible noises. He went wild with love of God. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Srivas Thakur dancing in ecstasy, hearing the glories of Vrindavan, he said to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Go on singing these glories of Vrindavan Dham. Go on singing." Swarup Damodar Goswami began to continue his incredible explanation of the opulences of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance and dance and dance. He became so ecstatic in his dance upon hearing the glories of Brajbhumi that he assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani. It became so uncontrollable. Hours and hours and hours went by. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually assumed the very form of Srimati Radharani before the devotee's eyes as he danced. When Nityananda Prabhu saw that here in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya is dancing with the form and the mood of Sri Radharani, he offered from a distance his prayers and his obeisances. The kirtan went on all morning and all afternoon. There were four kirtan parties, all singing, as Swarup Damodar Goswami continued narrating the glories of Vrindavan Dham, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced and danced with all ecstatic symptoms manifesting from his body. Now, when kirtans went on for a long, long time, the only person who could stop the kirtan was Nityananda Prabhu. But on this day, seeing that Lord Chaitanya was in Radharani's form, he could not come close to the Lord. He kept his distance. So therefore the kirtan would not end. Mahaprabhu's ecstasy was so great that the kirtan could not end. But at the same time, the devotees became so tired that the kirtan could not continue. Mahaprabhu said, "Go on singing!" Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped. He said, "My dear Lord, the devotees are very, very much fatigued. Please be merciful to them." Thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back into external consciousness. And there in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens was a wonderful feast of Jagannath's prasad waiting for all of them. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this wonderful story revealed his deepest love and appreciation for the supreme abode of Vrindavan. He wanted to show through Swarup Damodar Goswami that we should not see Vrindavan with material vision. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that there is a fine layer covering Vrindavan. It is yoga maya. In order to perceive the Dham as it is not possible with our mortal eyes made of flesh and blood. The spiritual world cannot be seen through such a mechanism. The spiritual world cannot be seen through such a mechanism. The spiritual world can only be seen by our faith in the words of the great acharyas and by our humility and our devotion. Do not commit offenses by thinking anything in Vrindavan to be ordinary. Those great personalities who have completely purified hearts, they see the divine pastimes of Sri Sri Krishna and Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyam, continuously taking place in Vrindavan. But sometimes we see sewage running in the streets and hogs bathing in that sewage and walking around. Sometimes we see poverty. Sometimes we see conditions that may be not very sanitary. This is our vision. Actually, behind all of this, the Lord is performing His unlimited pastimes. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when he was living in Vrindavan, one time the devotees offered their obeisances to him in the dust, and they got up and started cleaning the dust off their body and their hair. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji chastised them. He said, "Do you not know that every particle of this dust is more valuable than all the jewels of the heavenly planets or Vaikuntha? And you're taking it so ordinary, you've been blessed by this dust, and you're simply pushing it off as it is something ordinary?" There are three very, very powerful forms of Sri Radharani's mercy in Vrindavan. There is the dust, there is the hill called Govardhan, and there is the nectarine waters of the Jamuna. And one who comes in contact with these forms of the Lord's love becomes greatly purified. Srila Prabhupada taught us that we have to see through our ears. We have to see through the faith that we have in our hearts in the words of the great souls. It is the great personalities that reveal to us the holy Dham. I remember in 1971 December, I had good fortune of being here in Sri Vrindavan when His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada took all of us on parikrama to the various holy places, explaining nicely and teaching us how to honor and worship the Lord's abode. To be in the association of devotees, hearing the narrations of the Lord, will give us a proper understanding and perception of what is Vrindavan. We are here for only about 10 days in this great month of Kartik. We should be very, very attentive to make maximum spiritual advancement during this time. There should be no talk of this material world, no gossip, no rumors, no politics. These should be driven out of Vrindavan forever. I remember during that time in 1971, one devotee treated harshly one Vrijabasi who actually tried to cheat him of his money. And Srila Prabhupada told that devotee to leave Vrindavan. You cannot disrespect the Vrijabasis. You do not understand who they are. What to speak of the Vrijabasis? Prabhupada told us the hogs and the monkeys of Vrindavan were Goswamis in their previous lives that made aparads. And therefore in Vrindavan, by always laying in the dust for their whole lives and suffering in that situation, they become completely purified, and at the end of their lives, these monkeys and hogs will return to the spiritual world. This is the vision Srila Prabhupada has given us. So at every moment, hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. There is about 1,000 devotees within this congregation. Each one of you should be the servant of all others. This is the Vrindavan atmosphere, where everyone else is important except me. Everyone else is Prabhu. I am Das, 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 Anu Das. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Unless we adopt this consciousness, we are far, far, far away from Vrindavan Dham. Rupa Goswami taught us that unless one is humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, one cannot understand what is Vrindavan. So we should be very respectful, very helpful to serve all others. Try to put everyone else before ourselves. In this spirit, we will make wonderful spiritual progress. While in Vrindavan, be very eager to hear the message of Krishna. However tired you may be, however much your limbs may be paining, put it aside till you return to Bombay or whatever you're from. While in Vrindavan, completely engross your mind with great enthusiasm of hearing the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And during kirtan, please dance with great enthusiasm and loudly chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We should be in a prayerful mood, praying to the dust of Vrindavan, praying to the trees of Vrindavan, praying to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, and ultimately to Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar, that we can please them by genuinely surrendering in the mood of the servant of the servant of their servants. We cannot push our way into Vrindavan. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us like this. The intimate leelas of Braj Bhumi can only be realized to one who is truly humble and surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. The glories of Lord Krishna purify all those fortunate souls who hear and chant them. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the festival. The kirtan of the monkeys. Although these monkeys are certainly transcendentalists, please be careful. Krishna has purified many a devotee through his monkeys. I remember when I was living here in 1971, two people from America happened to come to Vrindavan. And one of them was the secretary of a very, very famous author of spiritual books in the Western world. And he rejected them, that person, because he saw inconsistencies in his books and in his life. So somehow he came to Vrindavan. And there was he was staying here only until he received a letter. This letter was a life and death decision that had to be made. He was waiting for the news. Every day he would go to the post office near Bunky Bihariji Temple waiting for this letter, asking, has a letter come for me? The letter wouldn't come. He was so eager for this letter. Finally, one day, the letter came. And he said, I don't want to read this until I'm in a very, very secluded place where I could completely absorb myself in the content of this letter. My whole life rests on this letter. So I said, well, why don't we walk through Niduban and Sevakunj area? And then we'll find a nice quiet place there. So as we were walking in Sevakunj, one monkey just went right up to him and put his hand right in this person's bag. I saw this with my eyes and took the letter out and jumped onto a tree. Then he jumped to the next tree, to the next tree, to the next tree, to the next tree until he disappeared. This person was weeping, he was crying, he fell to the ground. He said, what am I going to do? We have to find this monkey. So you can try. Haribol. So he stayed in Vrindavan. He didn't know what else to do, where else to go. Sometimes monkeys steal devotees' glasses. Krishna wants to show you, but you can't, not just through adjusting your material vision can you see Vrindavan. There are blind Vaishnavas who are seeing the eternal Leela of Krishna because they have pure faith and devotion, because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. At the time when the sun would set, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys would return to the village of Braja. Generally, Krishna would climb the tallest tree in the area, oftentimes a kadamba tree or a banyan tree, and he would play his flutes and call each of his cows. And when Krishna would call the cows, each cow would hear Krishna calling her own personal name. They felt so spiritually touched by this gesture of Shyam Sundar, they would come running with tears in their eyes, with their tails raised, galloping to meet with Krishna. Krishna, Balaram, the gopas, when they would enter into the village of Braja, their hair was decorated by the dust raised by the hooves of the cows. Within their hair there was peacock feathers and flowers from the forests of Vrindavan. Krishna was glancing so charmingly and smiling so beautifully. The gopis of Vrindavan, from early morning, they were simply counting the moments till Krishna and Balaram would return. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that for such devotees, a moment seems like 12 years or more. The Braja gopis of Vrindavan would simply immerse themselves in singing the beautiful glories of Krishna, just to somehow or other survive the separation as he was playing in the pasture grounds with his friends. When he returned in the evening, their eyes were like bumblebees drinking the pure nectar of the lotus face of Mukunda, and thus all the pangs of their separation was relieved. Krishna accepted their love, and they understood this within the core of their hearts. Yashoda and Rohini, when they saw Krishna and Balaram respectively, they would embrace them. After being in the pasture grounds all day, Rohini and Yashoda, they would squeeze every single limb of their bodies just to make sure that they were in good health and that they were safe. They would bring Krishna and Balaram into their homes, give them bath in fragrant scented water, massage them with fragrant oils. They would dress their bodies with beautiful garments, decorate them with jewels, put garments and fine oils on their bodies. Then they would feed sumptuous dinner for Krishna and Balaram, after which they would put them in beautiful beds arranged for them,
and Krishna and Balaram would happily sleep through the night. The next morning they would rise early, blow their buffalo horns to call their cowherd boyfriends and the cows to return. One day, Krishna with the gopas entered into the pasture grounds of Vrindavan with the cows. On this particular day, Balaram did not come. There are many reasons that the various acharyas explain. You see, the previous day, Balaram killed Denukasura. I remember one of the first times I met Srinathji Prabhu. He told me this story. That Krishna came back to Vrindavan. And he said, "Do you know what happened today in Talavan? Lord Balaram, he performed such a Herculean, incredible task. You know what he did?" Everyone was very excited. "What did he do? What did he do?" He said, "Today, Balaram demonstrated such extraordinary prowess. What did he do? What did he do? He killed an ass." So Balaramji said, "Krishna, tomorrow I'm not going out with you again." What you're saying about me. So the next day Balaram stayed back. The gopas, led by Krishna, came to this spot that we are sitting now. It was the summertime. The sun was scorching. It was hot. And the cowherd boys were suffering very much from great thirst. Here was a lake which was connected to the river Jamuna. With great enthusiasm, all the cows and all the cowherd boys drank the water of this lake. But within the water was a deadly poison. All the gopas and cows fell unconscious. They became lifeless. Lord Krishna, seeing all of his friends, as well as the cows, laying on the bank of the Jamuna Lake, dead, he smiled. He cast his nectarine glance upon them. And immediately, they came back to life. The gopas, they all began to look at each other with great astonishment. What just happened? The lake was poisoned due to the presence of the son of Kadru. Kadru happened to be one of the daughters of Daksha. Her son was Kaliya. He was a massive, venomous snake. Can everyone hear? Anyone not able to hear properly? This Kaliya, he was the embodiment of fear. He was like a burning ball of fire in the belly of the Jamuna. He was like an incurable disease. He created such powerful poison effect within this lake that if a bird happened to be flying even high up above the lake, the vapors of the water would poison the bird and it would immediately drop dead. If a wind came and just took the mist from this water and brought it
anything that was touched by that mist immediately died. In fact, within 8 miles of the Kalia Lake, nothing lived. The water was deep black. And Kalia, he had a mystic city called Jalastaba. This mystic city, you can make water into solid objects. He built an entire city under the water of the Jamuna. And nothing could live except his wives and his children. This Kadamba tree that we are sitting under today was the only thing alive in that vicinity. The Acharyas explain that Garuda, in the past, he knew Krishna would perform his lila here, so he put nectar on the tree to keep it alive. And other commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explained that the tree was actually dead, but Krishna climbed it, and as soon as Krishna's lotus feet touched the Kadamba tree, immediately it flourished back in full life. We explained how Krishna glanced upon the dead cowherd boys and brought them to life. This is very important, because spiritually we are all dead. Spiritually we are all lifeless. We have all been poisoned by envy, by lust, by pride, greed, anger, and illusion. We have been poisoned by our false egoistic desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. Only if Krishna casts his merciful glance upon us can we come back to our real spiritual lives. And this is the whole purpose of bhakti. Somehow or other, to become dear to Krishna by our humble and sincere service to his servants. When Krishna is pleased with us and he casts his merciful glance upon us, we will be spiritually revived. Krishna climbed to the top of this Kadamba tree in a very, very playful mood. First, he pulled back his hair with both his hands. Then, he retied his turban. Then, readjusted his belt. Began to flap his arms and sing a beautiful song. Then he dove directly into Kalia's lake. That poison water. Krishna was heavier than the universe. He went deep, deep down into the lake. It created such a commotion that although Krishna was just a small child, the impact of him hitting the water caused the entire lake of poison to overflow on all sides over 100 bows in length. Krishna agitated the water so much that the water just burst out into ferocious flames. In that setting, a flaming water, black, ugly poison. Krishna was swimming around very playfully, just splashing the waves, making loud, loud sounds, and smiling and laughing fearlessly. Kalia was terribly insulted by this. Such trespasser. Intolerable.
He was furious. He came out of the lake. Kaliya had 1,000 hoods. Of them, 101 were prominent. He looked upon Krishna. Seeing the beauty of Krishna, he was astounded. Such charm, such sweetness. But instead of falling in love with Krishna, he became envious of Krishna. He pounced upon Krishna. He bit Krishna right in the chest and then coiled his body around the delicate form of Shamsundar. When Lord Krishna was within the coils of Kaliya, Kaliya expanded his body to a monstrous size and began to squeeze with all of his strength, trying to crush little Gopal. He squeezed and he squeezed and he squeezed. But Gopal just smilingly remained. So Kaliya could not tolerate this. He expanded his body in more and more and more monstrous proportions and squeezed with all of his strength. He kept squeezing until he became exhausted. Meanwhile, Krishna just remained motionless within the coils of the Kaliya demon. When the cowherd boys and the cows saw Krishna in this condition, they began to weep and cry piteously. They cried out, "Alas, alas! We cannot live seeing this. How will we survive? We cannot bear this sight. Please, Krishna, come back, come back." But Krishna remained motionless. The cowherd boys fell to the ground, rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, suffering miserably. At that time, inauspicious omens pervaded the whole of Brajabhumi. Srila Prabhupada explains there's three types of inauspicious omens: those which manifest in the earth, in the sky, and in the body. There were earthquakes, and the jackals on the ground in the middle of the day were howling at the sun. The sun in the sky became dark, dull. It had no effulgence. And the sky appeared to be covered with smoke. The left side of the men were throbbing and the right side of the women were throbbing, which is greatly inauspicious. Seeing these inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the community of the Vrijabasis immediately became terribly alarmed, thinking some danger must have come upon Krishna. That is the nature of devotee. Any situation that comes upon them, they immediately remember Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan, their only thought, their only desire, their only reason to live was the pleasure of Krishna. They became beside themselves with confusion and grief. What has happened? What is happening? Something must have happened to Krishna. We must protect him. Meanwhile, Balaram, he was smiling. He knew exactly what was happening. Balaram started to laugh. And he was thinking within his heart that Krishna never ever plays with me in my form of Sheshanaga. But now he's playing with this insignificant, mundane, ordinary snake. There's no danger.
the residents of Vrindavan, they began to follow the beautiful footprints of Krishna. Krishna's footprints are distinguished because they have all auspicious marks ornamenting them. In Vrindavan, the cowherd men, the cowherd women, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, even all the animals, the peacocks, the monkeys, the lions, the tigers, the deers, they all made a unanimous agreement that no one will ever step on a footprint of Gopal. This is the ornament of the earth. They all observed this etiquette. Any footprint of Krishna was sacred. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the gopas and the gopis began to trace out the footprints of Krishna. In fact, there was such a desperate, urgent alarm, everyone was running to the site. When I say everyone, the acharyas explain, that means everyone. Even the tiny little babies got up on their feet and started running. Even the old people who couldn't walk started running. Krishna was in danger. We have to go to try to help him. So here we find the whole Brijavasi community running and running and running and running, and finally they came to the point where they could see the cowherd boys rolling in the ground, weeping piteously. They saw the cows with tears flowing from their eyes, motionless. Then they looked up and they witnessed the very object of all their love and devotion, Lord Sri Krishna, motionless within the horrible, demoniac, monstrous coils of this great black serpent, Kaliya. They were shocked, confused, and devastated. Yashoda Mai, she just became delirious and ran to jump right in the water to end her life. But the older gopis, they somehow held her back, although they felt the same way. The only way they could maintain their lives in this situation is they all chanted the glories of the Lord and His holy names. They all were standing like corpses looking at Krishna. Nanda Maharaj and all the gopas, they decided they could not live. They were all just about to jump in the poisonous waters of Jamuna. But Balaram stopped them. And he told them that there's nothing to be in anxiety about. Everyone was on the verge of death. Literally, they were falling unconscious and getting up and rolling in the dust and crying and looking at Krishna and falling unconscious. Their hearts were utterly broken. And Balaram was laughing. Shri Balaram Ji Ki Jai. He said, Krishna is my younger brother. He's not afraid of this insignificant, tiny little water snake. What can this snake do to my brother? Nothing more than a slight wind can do to a mountain. Or than a little darkness can do to the sun. Or a handful of dry reeds can do to put out a forest fire. But the residents of Vrindavan could not hear him. They were all at the point when they were on the verge of death. Srila Prabhupada asks us, Why? Why would Krishna put his beloved devotees who have surrendered all of their lives in such a miserable suffering condition? And he gives the answer, only to intensify their pure, unmotivated love to the most ecstatic degrees. When Krishna puts his devotee into a suffering condition, it is to purify our hearts. It is to put us in a condition where we understand that there's no one and nothing else that can save us than Krishna. And we turn to him wholeheartedly with no other shelter. And for the pure devotees like the Brijabasis, there's no purification required. But their absorption, their total absorption in the remembrance of Krishna was intensified unlimitedly. Upon seeing that his devotees were just on the verge of death, Krishna felt very compassionate. He expanded his body and slipped out of the coils of Kaliya. He remained in that condition for 2 full hours. Now Kaliya was ever more angry. Kaliya was breathing horrible fire out of all of his mouths. There were sparks flying out of his red eyes. He raised all of his hoods and stared at Krishna with such cruel envy that no one can imagine. He attacked Krishna. But Krishna just looked at the Brijabasis and smiled, just to reassure them that there is no danger. As Kaliya, with his 1,000 hoods, was attacking Krishna, Krishna was going in circles to dodge all of his attacks. Inconceivable potency of the Lord. He just kept going in circle and circle, and Kaliya, all his 1,000 heads were chasing him in circles, until Kaliya became so dizzy that he was depleted of all of his strength. Then Krishna pushed down one of Kaliya's hoods and jumped to the top of it. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that eventually everyone has to bow their head to Krishna. Devotees, they perform their dandavat obeisances. They place their head at the dust at the feet of Krishna and his servants, willingly, out of humility and devotion. But those who are like Kaliya, who refuse to bow their heads in a spirit of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of time, Krishna ultimately pushes their head to the ground to bow to the lotus feet of Krishna in the form of death. Krishna jumped upon the raised hood of Kaliya and began to dance. As Krishna was dancing, the demigods were struck with wonder. The demigods began to play kettle drums, mardangas, tablas, and all other sorts of instruments. They were playing flutes and veenas. They were singing beautiful songs to accompany Krishna's dancing. And Krishna danced and danced and danced with such exquisite artistry. Srila Prabhupada explained it was a dramatic performance. Krishna was, his legs were moving, his whole body was so graceful that the demigods could not even keep up with the instrumentation
to accompany Krishna's beautiful dancing. He simply captivated all the 14 girls with the beautiful dance. It was here at Kaliya Ghat, where we are sitting today, that Krishna is eternally performing the Leela of dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And Srila Prabhupada explained that the transcendental sound vibration is non-different than the actual form of the pastime itself. We can all personally witness the dancing of Krishna on Kaliya's hoods by simply hearing the transcendental sound of Shukadev Goswami's words. Krishna danced and danced and danced until Kaliya's hood collapsed. It was broken to pieces. It fell to the side, and then Krishna jumped to the next hood. And he danced, and to the next, and to the next. Krishna danced on all the 1,000 hoods of Kaliya. As the Brijabasis were all watching in great amazement, singing, even the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, they were all dancing along with Krishna. Kaliya was on the verge of death. Deadly. Dandavat Maharaji. Very happy to see you, Maharaj. Kaliya was so beaten down by the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Braja Gopis, they are thinking that Krishna's feet, they are so soft, so tender, so gentle, that when Krishna is in the pasture grounds of Vrindavan, sometimes his bare feet are stepping upon little stones or pebbles, or maybe even a thorn may touch that lotus foot. They would literally cry and their hearts would break, thinking that Krishna's feet might be injured in this way. When they would place Krishna's lotus feet even on the softest part of their bodies, they were afraid that they might hurt his feet because they were so soft. His feet are more tender than the petal of a lotus flower to his devotees. But to Kaliya, those same lotus feet were like thunderbolts crashing upon his head, destroying his integrity. Deadly black red poison started pouring out of Kaliya's mouths. After all of his poison was vomited, blood started pouring from his mouth. And then Kaliya understood that he was finished. He began to remember the instructions that his wives would regularly give him. His wives, the Nagapatnis, were great devotees. They were always telling him that you should become a devotee. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all attractive. We're your wives. We're chaste. We're faithful. But what kind of husband are you? You're supposed to lead us in the path of Dharma. You should surrender to Krishna. All your desires will be fulfilled when you surrender to Krishna. But Kaliya, with his
with his demoniac male ego, he would just disregard the words of his wives as just sentimental fools. But in this condition, when he was on the verge of death, he remembered the instructions of his wives, and he took shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. This is very interesting to understand, and very instructive as well. Krishna is non-different than his name. Krishna is non-different than the rendering of devotional service, his beautiful form of the deity, the pastimes of the Lord, the Vaishnavas. Krishna manifests himself in these forms in this world. When we take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna is personally dancing on our tongues. Tongue is something like a snake, is it not? In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that of all the senses, the tongue is the most difficult to control. Very stubborn, very obstinate. It wants to speak all nonsense. It wants to eat all kinds of foods. If one could control the tongue, one can control all the other senses easily. And how do we control the tongue? By only taking Krishna prasad and only speaking those things favorable to Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy names. As Krishna is dancing on your tongue, you begin to become purified. And all the contaminations of the heart begin to come out like poison. Some of us have this experience, that since we're chanting Hare Krishna, it seems like our material desires are worse than ever. It's not that they're worse than ever. They're always there in your heart. They're coming out like poison. When the poison starts vomiting out, it doesn't look very nice. But we have to just keep vomiting and vomiting and vomiting and go on chanting the holy names. Anartha Nivritti Adosha Tata Sattva. That first we have a little faith, Rupa Goswami says. Then we associate with sadhus. Then we begin to practice Vajana Kriya, the process of devotional service. And then Anartha Nivritti. All the poisons, the unwanted things are removed from our hearts. Only then can we actually, really take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what Kaliya did. The Nagapatnis, wives of Kaliya, when they saw Krishna smashing the hoods of Kaliya by dancing upon them, they were in ecstasy. In their hearts they were thinking, let this atheistic demon die. Then we will become widows. Then we could worship the lotus feet of Shamsundar to our heart's content without any other distractions. But then they saw that Kaliya, when he was on the verge of death, he was actually taking shelter of Krishna. He had become humble. He was repentful. He was remorseful. They saw that Kaliya had become a Vaishnava. Let us go and protect him. Putting their children before them, all the Nagapatnis came around Krishna with folded palms to offer prayers. The Nagapatnis
they prayed that, "Dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your mercy is causeless. Your punishment is simply your causeless mercy upon our husband, who is a serpent and naturally inclined to be envious and cruel. But our husband Kaliya, he has attained the supreme good fortune of having your lotus feet upon his heads. The dust of your feet are so sacred that even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, and even the greatest of the demigods, they perform years of tapasya and austerities to attain even one particle of dust from your lotus feet. And that same dust, which satisfies all desires, is on the head of our husband. Profusely. One who attains the dust of your lotus feet, Lord Krishna, no longer desires any of the wealth or opulences of this world, has no concern even for the riches of the heavenly planets, has no desire for liberation, mystic cities, or anything else except your loving devotional service. Today you have blessed our husband with the dust of your lotus feet. We cannot understand what inconceivable pious activities he must have performed in his previous lives. But now look at him. He's surrendering to you. He's humble. Please forgive him. Give us our husband back." Krishna was so pleased with the loving prayers of the Nagapatnis that he smiled upon them. He told them that your prayers are like Vandavat. Your prayers are like a monsoon rain which has extinguished the fire of my anger toward Kaliya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Where did we leave off? Krishna told Nagapatnis that your sweet and loving prayers were like a monsoon rain to extinguish the burning fire of my anger toward Kaliya. Then Krishna jumped off from the hoods of Kaliya. Kaliya was laying on the ground, unconscious. Gradually, by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, he regained his consciousness. And with great humility and surrender, he offered prayers to the lotus feet of Shamsundar. Kaliya knew nothing about offering prayers, but he heard his wives praying, so he imitated them. But it was done with great sincerity from his heart. He expressed that I am from the species of serpents. It is our nature to be very envious and cruel. It's very, very difficult for anyone to overcome the habitual nature that they have. I am envious. I am cruel. I have offended you. I have offended your devotees. Please forgive me. I surrender to you. Krishna gave forgiveness to Kaliya and told him that you should leave this place. You should go back to your home, the Ramanaka Lake in the ocean. You have nothing to fear from Garuda anymore, because when he sees my lotus footprints on your head, he will be very kind and merciful to you. It's very interesting that Kaliya and Garuda were worst enemies. You know that Kaliya was hiding in this place specifically from Garuda. However, our beloved acharyas have described to us that after Kaliya became purified and surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, Krishna gave him the position of sometimes being his carrier. The same role as Garuda he had achieved. And it is described in some Puranas that sometimes when Krishna travels, he travels on the hoods of Kaliya. Kaliya then began to worship Krishna. He offered beautiful jewels. One of the jewels he took from the innermost part of his treasury. It was the Kostubamani. When Krishna first jumped into the Jamuna Lake, his Kostubamani fell off and went to the bottom. And Kaliya found it, the most precious of all his jewels he put in his treasury, thinking, "It is mine." But now he came forward and presented the Kostubamani back to Krishna in surrender. This is actually the meaning of surrender. One time a devotee approached our beloved Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I want to renounce everything." Srila Prabhupada replied, "You have nothing to renounce. Everything belongs to Krishna. The only thing you have to renounce is your misconception that you have something to renounce. Whatever we offer to Krishna is like taking water from Ganga and offering back to Ganga. Krishna accepts our devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Even if we offer a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water to Krishna, he will accept it if it is done with devotion. Real peace and happiness can only come when we have full understanding that everything is the property of Krishna. And whatever we have, when we offer it for the pleasure of Krishna, that is the ultimate perfection of our life. And that is what Kaliya did. He surrendered his life. He offered Krishna garlands, ornaments. He offered him everything he had. And then, with Krishna's blessings, he departed for the ocean. When Krishna came out of the Jamuna, he was decorated by all the offerings of Kaliya. The Brijavasis, it was as if they had come back from the dead, seeing Krishna safe and alive. Lord Balaram embraced him, laughing. The gopas began to embrace him. Nanda Maharaj, thinking that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has saved my child from this great disaster, began to give charity of many decorated cows to the Brahmins. Yashoda Mai, she took the child Gopal on her lap, embraced him, and incessantly wept tears of love. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all of the demons who appeared in Sri Vrindavan Dham, they all represent particular anarthas that we must overcome. He explains that Kaliya represents the anartha of envy, deceit, and cruelty. This anartha attacks us both from within and without. We must understand very, very carefully what is this anartha and how it is working. From without, there are persons who will try to poison our faith. Faith is so precious. Like a tree, it may take many, 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 many births to grow a tree to a state where the fruits begin to blossom. But to cut down a tree could be done in a matter of seconds. To hear offenses to the Vaishnavas, to speak offenses to Krishna or his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it is like mad elephant offense. The devotional creeper that has taken many, many lifetimes to begin to develop can be trampled to the ground in a matter of seconds. We must be very, very careful. There is religious philosophies. There are people who may come before us, like Kaliya, to try to poison our minds, to try to destroy our faith in Krishna, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas. And it is explained by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that devotees are oftentimes very innocent and unsuspecting. Just like those cowherd boys. They just accepted the water as pure and drank from it wholeheartedly, not knowing what was in it. Similarly, we should not hear from persons who are envious to the principles of pure devotional service. Sanatana Goswami explains that if a non-devotee or a Mayavadi speaks Harikatha, it is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Tastes like milk, but the effect is like poison. So we must be very careful. Sometimes even our near and dear ones try to drag us away from the path of devotional service by poisoning our minds. And within our own hearts, there is envy. There is the propensity to be deceitful. We must pray to Sri Kaliya Daman, Krishna, the killer of Kaliya, to kill this Kaliya-like propensity within our hearts. According to Garga Samhita, there was a sage of the name Vedashira. And he had an ashram. And another great rishi named Ashvashira came to meditate in that ashram. But he was not allowed. So Ashvashira cursed Vedashira that I have come to meditate in your ashram and you are so angry at me, you are hissing like a snake, I curse you, become snake. Vedashira was very upset. He began to beg forgiveness and cry, please forgive me, forgive me. But then Lord Vishnu appeared and told him, you will become a snake, but I will personally dance on your hoods and give you deliverance. After Kaliya was delivered and purified by the lotus feet of Sri Gopal, the residents of Vrindavan, they were just so happy to be with Krishna. They didn't want to leave him. So they decided, let's all just take rest right here on the bank of the Jamuna. When Krishna would go home to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj's house, all the other gopas and gopis would just be all night long longing for the sun to rise when they would see Shamsundar again. But on this particular night, Krishna fulfilled all their desires, and they all went to sleep on the bank of the Jamuna. Everyone, with fixed love and devotion, was gazing upon the beautiful form of Lord Krishna. In this world, any disaster can take place at any moment. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There is danger at every step. As they were sleeping peacefully, a blazing forest fire consumed all directions. They woke up and they were surrounded by a fire. The flames were towering to the sky. The gopas, the gopis, and the cows, with tears of love in their eyes, they all turned to Krishna. Please, please, save us. We have nothing but you. Whenever a devotee takes wholehearted shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna will surely protect them. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna tells us in Gita, for my devotee will never perish. How Krishna protects his devotee is according to his own inconceivable sweet will. Krishna effortlessly inhaled, simply by breathing inward, the entire enormous forest fire was consumed by his small mouth. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that this burning forest fire represents intercommunal discord amongst Vaishnavas. Some of our acharyas explain that this burning forest fire was actually a demon sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna and the Brijavasis. Other commentators tell us that this forest fire may have been one of the associates of Kaliya, who came to kill Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan out of revenge. It was a demon. This is one of the greatest anartas on the path of devotional service. When there is gossip, politics, useless, futile rumors, which create discord, disharmony, agitation amongst the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, he explained, like a bunch of sticks, when they are tied together, the strength of those sticks is their unity. No matter how hard you try, you cannot break those sticks as long as they are tied together. And what is it that ties? Srila Prabhupada explains, the string of love and trust. Without that string of love and trust, each twig individually can easily be broken to pieces. We desperately need each other. United we stand, divided we fall. Maya is all powerful. We are at war with her. Any war, the soldiers understand that they desperately need each other to overcome the enemy. There are many differences. Differences in economic categories. Some are rich and some are poor. There are various castes, various nationalities, different sexes. So many ways that we can see differences from each other and fight over those differences. However, we have one thing in common, that we are all dedicated to the loving service of Guru and Gauranga. And that one unifying principle should stand above all others. Srila Prabhupada was greatly disturbed when he saw politics, argumentation, and mundane disharmony between the devotees. In fact, it caused great pain to his heart. He reminded us often of when he met his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at Sri Radha Kund. They were walking along the banks, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that there was great trouble in Gaudiya Math. They had just acquired this Bhag Bazar Gaudiya Math. And some of the leaders were competing unnecessarily over who would use which rooms. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the words, "There is fire in the Gaudiya Math." What is that fire? Fighting, arguing, disharmony. It is like fire. Chanakya Pandit said, there are several things that must be dealt with immediately or they will destroy you. One is disease and the other is fire. If your house is on fire, you can't take it lightly. Because if fire is unattended, it will not get smaller. It will consume more and more and more and more until it is like a blazing forest fire. So we must cut this propensity at its very root. As soon as we see the flames of disharmony, mundane interests coming between us, false egos, profit adoration and distinction, these inclinations can create havoc within a spiritual society. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the prestige of this world should be seen as abominable as the stool of a boar. Simply abominable. But yet we are so attached to drinking the succulent juices of this boar stool that due to that attachment, we can create havoc to the whole mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Guru Maharaj. Trinadapi suniche na tharorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This, in fact, is the only remedy by which we could put out this fire. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. To strive to be more humble than the straw in the street. More tolerant than a tree. To be very eager to offer all respects to others and expect no respect for ourselves. In this state of mind, we can constantly chant the holy names. So let us not allow this blazing fire to destroy the mission of Guru and Gauranga. Let us arm ourselves with the quality of forgiveness, humility, and a true desire to serve. Generally, devotees fight over such petty, insignificant things. We have seen. Sometimes there's major schisms, battles, fightings, even horrible aparads thrown at each other, simply on the basis of use of particular type of terminology. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the sons. The father is being massaged, and one son on each side, and each son is sticking, poking, scratching, biting the father on the other son's side, so that he will become more recognized. But ultimately, it is only the father that suffers. The whole humanity is burning in the fire of ignorance. And somehow or other, by the inconceivable causeless mercy of the Lord, we have been given the power to deliver them. If we act united, we could heal the sufferings of this world. Srila Prabhupada explained, if his devotees would just unite with complete faith in his instructions, we could make the whole world Krishna conscious in 18 days. That is the power of the holy name, the power of the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. So we must give up all hatred, all envy, and all mundane competition amongst us for the higher principle of giving pleasure to Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar and our spiritual master. On our way here, as we were walking across the Parikrama Marg, we passed a place called Mohantera. This is a very, very important place. When Krishna was playing with Braj Gopis, Madan, or Cupid, decided he wanted to come to conquer Krishna with his prowess. Now we all know the power of Cupid in this world. Practically the entire universe is dancing like puppets on the strings of Cupid's influence. The arrows, although they are like flowers of Cupid's bow, when they pierce our heart, we become mad, we become infatuated. So Cupid aimed his bow and arrow at Lord Krishna, who is Shamsundar, beautiful, with his complexion like the tamal tree, lotus-like eyes, his hair like clusters of crow's feathers cascading down his beautiful shoulders, his body decorated with a dhoti which shone yellow like lightning. He was wearing a garland of wild forest flowers. The Kostubha Mani was on his chest. His limbs beaming like the bimba fruit, playing the fifth note of his flute. As Cupid aimed and concentrated on his target, upon seeing the beauty of Lord Gopinath, his heart melted. He was paralyzed. He couldn't shoot his arrow, and he fell to the ground unconscious. Thus the Lord assumed the name Madan Mohan. Cupid is enchanting and intoxicating the entire universe. But Cupid is bewildered by the beauty of Krishna. He is all attractive. There is only one cure to the infatuations of the disease of material desire. Param drisvani vartate. There is no other way except experiencing the higher taste. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara. Krishna says that when we restrain our senses from material objects and fix our consciousness on Krishna, then we become fixed in purification. So this should be the goal of our life. Of all the scriptures and all the injunctions, instructions, and philosophies, they are all meant to serve two purposes: to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the ultimate goal of life and the means of achieving that goal. Just behind us is the Samadhi Mandir of Prabodhananda Saraswati, one of the very great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur was the spiritual master and uncle of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. The Lord lived with them when he was in his South Indian tour in Sri Rangam. He came and spent his life here in Vrindavan and wrote beautiful literatures that are worshipped by all of our acharyas, especially literatures glorifying the supreme resplendent qualities of Sri Vrindavan Dham and pure devotional service. After passing by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur's samadhi, we will come to Madan Mohan Temple. This is the first temple built here in Vrindavan. It was built by Srila Sanatan Goswami. When we depart from Vrindavan, most of us will be going to Karoli and then to Jaipur. The original deity of Madan Mohan is now in Karoli. However, the Pratibhumurti is none different, living in Vrindavan. We will speak at great length about Sanatan Goswami and Sri Madan Mohan in the temple of Karoli on November 20th. But in brief, Madan Mohan was originally installed by Vajranab, the great-grandson of Krishna. Over the centuries, millenniums, it was lost. Sri Advaitacharya was residing in Vrindavan, in a place that we'll be passing by in a few minutes. It is called Advaitavat. There he discovered the deity of Madan Gopal, worshipped the deity with great love and devotion. Before returning to Bengal, Advaitacharya gave the deity of Madan Gopal to one of his disciples in Mathura named Purushottam Chobe, who worshipped Madan Gopal with great spontaneous love. He gave the deity to Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was living here at the Dwadas Aditya Teel. The mountain called Dwadas Aditya Teel is named such because after Krishna was in the water for so many hours with Kaliya, he stood on top of that small hill. The 12 sons of Aditya appeared as 12 suns, just to warm Krishna's body as an act of loving service. At that time, Krishna perspired. The perspiration came down below the hill to form the Praskandana Kund. On top of Dwadas Aditya Teel, Sanatan Goswami was residing. He had nothing. He was the chief minister under the Nawab Hussein Shah in Ramkeli, living in a glorious ornamented palace. He was a multimillionaire. He gave everything up to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here in Vrindavan, he would sleep under a different tree every night. He would beg Madhukari and get some simple wheat flour, and he would just add some Jamuna water, make it into ball, and put it into fire. And that's what he would eat. That's all he had to offer Madan Gopal, who was then given the name Madan Mohan. Dandavat Maharajji. Dandavat. Worshipping the Lord under a tree, in utter poverty by material calculations, but he was offering Madan Gopal the supreme wealth of pure devotional service. What a holy place that is. One day, a boatman named Krishnadas Kapoor, he had a big, big barge with salt and other wares he was taking to Agra to sell. And just near the Praskandana Kund, his boat got stuck, began to sink. Madan Gopal took the form of a cowherd boy and told Mr. Kapoor that there's a great sadhu up there on the hill, you should talk to him. So he came up. Sanatan Goswami taught him the science of pure devotional service.
and Mr. Kapoor surrendered at the lotus feet of Sanatan Goswami and Sri Madan Mohan. He happened to have some salt, which is just what Madan Mohan wanted for his unsalted chapatis. Such a simple offering, but yet he attained the ultimate perfection of life by making that offering. His heart was transformed. He sold all of his goods. He happened to have some salt, which is just what Madan Mohan wanted for his unsalted chapatis. Such a simple offering, but yet he attained the ultimate perfection of life by making that offering. His heart was transformed. He sold all of his goods, came back to Vrindavan, and built the first temple, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, that stands today. In fact, Madan Mohan Temple is the very symbol of Vrindavan for many of us. Madan Mohan is the Sambandha Murti of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Through the teachings of Sanatana Goswami and the worship of Madan Mohan, we establish our relationship with Krishna, who attracts our mind from the miserable condition of wanting to enjoy our senses. So when we go to Sri Sri Madan Mohan Mandir, we should fall in the dust of that place and beg for the mercy of Sri Sanatana Goswami and Madan Mohan. Please attract my heart to your loving service for all of eternity. After Madan Mohan Gopal Mandir, we will be having Harinam Sankirtan to Radha Shyam Sundar Temple and then Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple. At Radha Damodar Temple, we will be requesting our illustrious guests, Malati Devi, Chandrasekhar Maharaj, Bhima Prabhu, Dharmatma Prabhu, Janani Vas Prabhu, to speak some wonderful realizations about the significance of that holy place for us. At this time, let us take our bath in Kali Yugat. Krishna explained after subduing Kaliya that anyone who takes bath in this lake will without doubt achieve pure devotional service to his lotus feet. So there is no water here that we can see with our mortal eyes. However, the dust that you are sitting on is none different from that water. So please, wholeheartedly, take bath in Kali Yugat, and we will continue our parikrama of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Jai Jai Sri Radhe.